Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast for and by Rockies fans on Rocky Mountain Rooftop. Thank you for joining us as we discuss all things baseball and Colorado Rockies. Hello and welcome to Affected by Altitude, the Colorado Rockies podcast on Rocky Mountain Rooftop, a proud affiliate of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Evan Lang, and with me as always is Skylar Timmons.
Hi-dilly-ho, my elbow does not hurt. So I can keep doing the podcast, even though how quickly we do this podcast, Evan. You know, I was worried about what it'd do to my elbow, but I think I'm okay.
The problem is that when we're podcasting, we're going 100%, 100% of the time.
I pace myself out.
So we might as well just dive right into it because it's not been a fun week. let's talk injuries, Skylar.
Mm-hmm.
So the week started out. Or I guess not started out, but it's been a part of it. It's all a part. Let's just tear the band-aid off. Chris Bryant is back on the injured list.
Is it Chris Bryant on the injured list time already?
Heavens me, look at the time.
It's that time of the year already?
Chris Bryant had already been having some back tightness throughout the season. And then while playing right field for some reason, this is exactly what both Skylar and I warned about, is why are you putting Chris Bryant in the outfield when he's more likely to get hurt? He took a tumble, making a catch into the wall against the Toronto Blue Jays, and has now been placed on the 10-day injured list with no timetable for return.
Yeah, well, they're hoping he'll be back on Tuesday because they're hoping they could backdate it, because the last time we had talked, last Monday, you know, they're still sticking around like, yeah, he's injured, but we'll see what happens. And he just still wasn't getting loose, wasn't feeling good, so they date it back. They're hoping it'll be the minimum stay, and he'll be back on Tuesday. But, yeah, just so sick of it.
But also,
stretches like, back, dang it.
You know what I hope? I hope to have $1 million. It's about equally as likely, I think, as Chris Bryant being back on Tuesday. It's exactly what we said was going to be the issue if you put Chris Bryant in the outfield. It was the whole point. It was all they talked about over the offseason at the end of last season. We're moving Chris Bryant to first base and DH because he's less likely to get injured that way. And then they roll into the season going, well, maybe Chris Bryant's going to play more right field than we thought. And then Chris Bryant is playing right field, and then he gets hurt playing right field, and here we are again.
Yeah, and it's not his legs. It's because he makes a catch where he kind of looks confused out there. Like, he doesn't look comfortable in the outfield. I know the whole garbage about, oh, his versatility, we say that as an asset. Like, at some point, you're like, eh, is the versatility really worth it when he's not very good defensively at some of these positions? Most of these positions.
I mean,
and then he runs into a chain link fence and, my side and my back. So, and I think a lot of this move, too, is because they had a short bench in Philadelphia. that we'll touch on some of the stuff happening in Philly.
Everybody getting sick, some kind of stomach bug sweeping through the Rockies clubhouse. We had a game that we'll talk about a little bit more in a couple minutes where the Rockies only had Jacob Stallings on the bench and had multiple starters out.
Yeah.
Because everybody was sick. And, you know, unfortunately that happens, but it's tough with Bryant. Look, we toss around the word cromulent when it comes to defensive ability. And for the outfield, Bryant just is not cromulent when it comes to playing right field, playing left field. Those days are behind him. He does not have that in him.
He doesn't have the physical ability. Like I can respect like his determination. Like, yeah, I can play wherever they want me to. Like, that's good in a teammate. Doesn't mean they should. You know, being able to like, oh man, we need to shuffle things around. Chris, he should only be a break glass in case of emergency playing right field. Cause otherwise keep Charlie Blackman out there. I'm perfectly fine with Chuck out there. Yeah. Tolia, you got no Jake Cave, no outfielders who are more comfortable. Because you look at Chris Bryant when he runs, looks like he's got arthritis in his knees.
Yeah, he does.
Doesn't have the stride anymore.
He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't have the range, let's say. He just, that range for him to patrol a big outfield, it's not there. And that's fine, because there was another spot for him, and that was first base and DH, and he's been fine there. But we all said, don't put Chris Bryant back in the outfield. You need him to be healthy this season. You need him to not get hurt. And lo and behold, he gets hurt.
And it's goes back to the problem we've talked about before, where the Rockies are still trying to do the spinning plates act of, we got to get Tolia in there, and Montero and Blackman, and you know, they're all part of this 4-5-6-man rotation between those three positions of first, right field, and DH. Like, no, just pick somebody and stick with them. Or, like, shuffle 2 to 3 guys around there. But
yeah,
there's four of them, and they're trying to shuffle in between two spots. That doesn't work.
If anything, I would appreciate more if the Rockies picked a guy that they said, you know what, this guy's not it, and moved on from him.
Mm-hmm. And that mostly comes between Tolia and Montero at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know,
and like it would stink, because I like both of those guys, but it would at least show the Rockies showing some like critical decision making that they really haven't done. And so now we're back at this point with Chris Bryant injured. You know, hopefully he is back on Tuesday to start the next series, which is going to be against the San Diego, not start the series, but be part of the next series, which is going to be against the San Diego Padres at home before the Rockies are heading off to beautiful Mexico City.
The Moringa music.
Roll that back. Do it again.
No.
The replay?
No. One time only.
This is why you watch the video version, folks, to see Skylar dance. No, it's just frustrating, because we all saw this coming. It was not a matter of if, it was a matter of when, and now it's happened.
It's like we're watching the Rockies. We told them, don't touch that hot stove, and then we're just sitting there watching them, and they're like, I'm gonna touch it
now. Rockies, don't you eat that pie.
Exactly. And this creates a weird situation, like, okay, now Sean Bouchard's up to replace him. What happens then with Sean Bouchard in just this little amount of time? Is looking really good, doing some good things.
Especially
what happens when Bryant's coming back.
Bouchard had the one game he's played so far, he drew 2 walks and had a base hit, which is exactly what the Rockies need, is some plate discipline and drawing walks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating, because Chris Bryant being on the injured list is kind of a blessing in disguise, because it got Bouchard back up and it got things a little bit more straight line, where you've got Bouchard in right. Here's your right fielder. It's Sean Bouchard.
Mm-hmm.
And when Chris Bryant comes back, you're just going to have to figure out who comes and who goes. And that's part of why it's so frustrating, is that the Rockies are so hamstrung by this contract with KB, is that they can't just move on. Yeah. Like, at this point, it would take Chris Bryant retiring, which I'm not sure he's going to do, to get him off of this roster. And even then, the Rockies are still going to owe him money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, can they pull off like the Russell Wilson thing? And but that's money's guaranteed over a lengthier amount of time instead of just kind of a big lump sum.
Yeah.
That's a big hit at the start. But yeah, it's
funny because we've talked about, we've compared Chris Bryant and Russell Wilson before, but the Broncos, at the very least, yeah, the next 2 years, year and a half are going to be hard for the Broncos salary wise, but then it's done. Versus, yeah, we've still got another 4 years left of KB after this season.
Mm-hmm. And all of it's guaranteed.
Yep. It's a tough situation. But then, you know, leading on from Chris Bryant, unfortunately, there are some other injuries to report for this week. The big one sort of midweek was Daniel Bard being placed on. Well, he hasn't been officially moved yet, yeah, but he's been moved to the 60-day injured list.
Yeah, we mentioned that in our last episode near the end that we had gotten that news. He's getting Tommy John.
I don't know if he's getting specifically Tommy John
or something close to it,
but a similar surgery. It's going to be on his right elbow, his pitching elbow, due to a flexor tendon issue that he's been dealing with for quite some time. He will not pitch this season, and that's probably going to be a career for one Mr. Daniel Bard, unfortunately, where he said he's going to have the surgery, he's going to rehab, and then after that, he's going to need to decide if he is going to attempt to resume his baseball career. At that point, he's going to be almost 39 years old, and, you know, he's got his family, and he will be a free agent at the time. His contract with the Rockies will be up. I'm just not sure there's going to be a market for a near 40-year-old relief pitcher just coming off of elbow surgery.
What's this? I'm hearing that Bill Schmidt probably will offer him something.
So that's where it gets even more frustrating, is apparently his elbow's been bothering him for a hot minute, dating all the way back to when the Rockies extended him at the 2021 trade deadline.
22.
Where they signed him to that two-year $19 million extension. And Daniel Bard was talking about all the pitcher injuries. And in this interview, he discusses that his elbow was bothering him maybe a little more than usual. And the Rockies still signed him to quite a large extension. And that's a very Rockies move, unfortunately. And I don't fault Daniel Bard at all for taking that money. Mm-hmm. And he tried to pitch through it. His 2022, the rest of 2022 was really, really solid. But then last year, he struggled with that elbow injury pretty much the entire season. And you can attribute that to why he struggled so much.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't find the zone. And everybody's like, oh, he's got the yips again.
I know. It turns out he's got an elbow injury.
Yeah. And then he still tried to pitch most of the year.
Yeah. But that's most pitchers try and pitch through those injuries, unfortunately. Where it gets difficult is that, so he ended the season last year on the injured list with this elbow injury and was rehabbing all off season. And he started his off season pitching program to start ramping up for spring training. And that's when he tore his meniscus, or had the meniscus injury in his knee, you know, freak accident, completely unrelated. But the Rockies kind of viewed that as a blessing in disguise of, oh, okay, well then, the knee's not going to be a big issue. We'll get that done, and then you can continue to rehab your elbow, and then when you rejoin the Rockies, you'll be ready to go. And that sounded like a good plan until he resumed throwing recently, and his elbow was still really bothering him.
My elbow still hurts.
It hurts when I do this.
Yeah.
But so he went and saw a physician, and physician said surgery. He's going to have the surgery. I believe he had it already at this point. He said he was going to have it some point last week. And now it's just, we're going to see what happens. I'm pretty sure this is going to be it for Daniel Bard career wise. I don't think we see him on a mound again, unless he really wants it and is willing to take, you know, vet minimum or something, or a minor league deal, mm-hmm, to try and do a comeback. But he's going to be almost 40 years old. What my hope is that the Rockies retain him in some sort of coaching capacity, because we know his skills as a mental health coaching coordinator. He's done that before. He's sort of done that as a pitcher with the Rockies here, and it would be nice to have him continue to be a part of this team, even though he's not pitching.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, and you know, it still makes you dreams like, man, what could we have gotten for him if we had traded him instead of extending him? Because the market was hot for old Daniel Bard.
Yeah.
And the Rockies are like, no, we're going to keep him. For, and we're all like, why?
Because like, of reasons.
So it, he's another one of those examples of the Rockies just being loyal to their guys and holding on to them, which goes back to all, but it just, you know, it sucks for Bardo, you know, because he's had such this great story. And then to potentially see it just end like this, you know, it's, it sucks. You're like, ah, man, like, yeah, that's awful for the guy. Because we know what he struggled with.
Yeah. And we love Daniel Bard. He's a great guy. He's been an incredible presence in the clubhouse. You know, he's the kind of guy that you can't help but root for. The way the end of his career is kind of playing out reminds me of Ad's backup goaltender, Pavel Francouz, who just announced his retirement, where he had been dealing with injuries. You know, he was pivotal in that Stanley Cup run. You know, Bard unfortunately never got his ring or anything like that with the Rockies, but was such an important piece to the team. And then is just out, has to have surgery. The surgery leads through the end of his contract and then potentially retirement, which is exactly what happened with Pavel Francouz. He had had the hip injuries and, you know, had to get it surgically corrected and then just didn't come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just kind of sucks, but
it really does. So here's hoping that the surgery and rehab go well for Daniel. It's one of those things where at this point you just want him to, you know, be happy and healthy for being with his family the rest of his life versus, you know, necessarily coming back and pitching.
He doesn't have to suffer through playing for the Colorado Rockies this year.
Daniel, you're free. Run, boy. Run.
It's going to be like that scene in Harry and the Hendersons. Like, Bud Black's going to take him out into the woods and yell at him, like, go, get out of here.
Harry Ralston and the Hendersons. Harry Ralston Black and the Hendersons. Oh, the joke's goodness. There.
You I did not intend. All, I did not intend.
You guys
intend
can all
that.
Piece that together, right? No, that was Skyler. When you make an unintentional joke that works, you're supposed to take credit for it. You have to be like, yeah, I planned that.
Well, it doesn't work because Harry's the Sasquatch. And in this scenario, Bard is the Sasquatch.
I don't know. You could describe Bud Black as Sasquatch-esque.
Just like his enthusiasm. We never see it.
Oh, anyways, man, there's been a couple times this season so far where you would have liked to see Buddy get tossed or at least get a little emotional, and he just kind of sits there like,
hey, we get salty grandpa in some post-game interviews.
He does, good but stuff. Those are the wrong people to get salty with. But there is one more big injury to touch on. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to dive right into it. And that is the injury of one left-handed starting pitcher, Kyle Freeland. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Affected by Altitude with Evan and Skyler. We were talking injuries on the first segment here, and we're unfortunately going to keep talking injuries here in segment number two. And that's because the last injury we need to talk about is Kyle Freeland going to the injured list with left elbow strain. Is that what they called it? Left elbow strain?
Yes. Straight of some kind, where he doesn't think it's a UCL tear. Doesn't think they're like, big damage in there, but they still got to check it out.
Yeah, and at the time of recording, he had not spoken with the physician or seen the MRI results yet. So who knows? Like, we could finish this recording and there will be news saying, giving us an update on Kyle Freeland. That
chop
that
his arm off and give him a robot one.
Beep. Kyle Beepland.
He does use some profanity.
Ultimately there is some context behind the Kyle Freeland injury that we need to talk about, and that is during the series with the Philadelphia Filberts, the Rockies were attempting to stage a rally to come back into the game. This was the game in which they had a very short bench, we had discussed a little bit in the first half, where the only person they had on their bench was Jacob Stallings. Jake Cave, Brennan Rogers were both out sick. Chris Bryant was still dealing with his back injury. We had already used Alan Trejo in the game. He had been put in the game this before we called up Sean Bouchard. The Rockies needed a pinch runner with Elias Diaz on base, trying to win the game. And Elias Diaz, you know, not the fastest guy, not exactly a feared base runner.
He barely got into second on that double.
Yeah, it took him charging. And I know that, you know, I joke because I love Elias Diaz, and he has hit like a couple triples and things like that. And it's like feared speed threat, Elias Diaz. But, you know, catchers are not usually the fastest guys in the world. And who are you going to put in? Jacob Stallings, who is even slower than Elias Diaz. So the Rockies needed a pinch runner. And that pinch runner was Kyle Freeland. And I know that. First of all, Skyler, this move has gotten a lot of flack to begin with because Kyle is a pitcher, but it got even more flack after on a wild pitch, Kyle attempted, read it perfectly. He charged home and was trying to score the run, and he collided with former Rockies pitcher and current bullpen member of the Phillies, Jeff Hoffman, and dislocated his right shoulder. And was also in a bad call called out at the plate, which was even more frustrating. But I think if Kyle had not had the subluxation of his shoulder, this wouldn't be as scrutinized as it was. Because I think we need to talk about this a little bit, that nobody dragged Kyle Freeland out onto the base path to be a pinch runner. The bench was short and Buddy had his options and asked Kyle, hey, do you want a pinch run?
Yeah.
And Kyle, who is, as we all know, fiercely competitive, was up for it because he is one of the better athletes on the team, despite being a pitcher. He can run. He can field. He's a good athlete. And so he did it. And he would have scored that run. Like, it was legitimately a bad call. But he got injured on the play. And now with the news of his elbow injury, a lot of people are blaming it on Bud Black and having him be the pinch runner and that shoulder subluxation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to do a little anatomy lesson here, Evan. This is my right arm on the video. It's my right hand, and that's my right shoulder. Okay. Now, Kyle Freeland, he throws left-handed, and it's his left elbow that hurts. So, right shoulder, pinch running, left elbow, throwing. He's on the injured list because of throwing, not pinch running.
Wait, run that by me again? I didn't get it.
Right shoulder, pinch running, separated. But he's okay. It's happened before. Left elbow, injured from throwing. Hard, 94 miles an hour. His elbow hurts. That's why he's on the injured list. Not the shoulder, the elbow. Right shoulder, uninjured. Left elbow, hurt. Injured.
I think I get it, but just in case, say everything one more time. I wasn't listening.
Explain it like I'm 5 years old.
But no, it's... So first we'll talk about the shoulder dislocation. Yes, his right shoulder was dislocated on the play. He was very clearly in pain, and they walked him into the clubhouse. And what both he says and what everyone else says is they were able to reduce it fairly easily, which means getting it back into place. And Kyle was back in the dugout very quickly. He was at the top of the dugout stairs.
And screaming at umpires right after the replay call.
Yeah, when they called the replay, you could see Daryl Scott, the pitching coach, have to hold him back into the dugout because he was trying to go onto the field to scream at the umpires.
He's about ready to go dislocate that shoulder again, punching somebody.
Exactly. So, yes, and it's entirely possible that there could have been complications to the shoulder injury that could have landed him on the IL. But generally, if it's not a full dislocation, or if it is a full dislocation, but you can get it back in very easily, it's not as big a deal.
Yeah, because it was like shoulder separated.
Yeah, if there's no structural damage or anything like that, what's probably going on with Kyle, and you know, this is all armchair physician stuff, I am not a doctor, the more you dislocate a joint, the more likely you are to continue dislocating that joint, because the ligaments and everything that are holding it into socket get loose or worn out, and eventually you will need surgery. So my guess is that's kind of where he's at, because he's dislocated that shoulder a couple times now, and it pops out, but it popped back in. And you know, Kyle, he might not necessarily be fully honest with you if he's ready to go, but I don't think the team is necessarily going to lie and say, he's fine, don't worry about it. He's fine, don't worry about it. Or that the elbow injury is some kind of facade to take heat off of Bud Black for putting Kyle in the game. Mm-hmm. I think that's extraordinarily silly to think, because here's the deal. And we've heard this directly from Kyle. His elbow's been bothering him for a minute.
Yeah, since like opening day.
At the very least, it was bothering him during the start he had against the Blue Jays. And if you look back at that start, he does look to be in a bit of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different can of worms, especially if, you know, since opening day it's been bothering him, because it would also explain why he's had such a difficult time placing his pitches. Because we were describing it early on as it was either completely outside of the zone or it was a batting practice ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense, unfortunately, as to why he was having these early season struggles. And we don't know where it's going to go from here. We don't. We know that Kyle is going to be out for at least a month, probably more. We don't know if there's any UCL damage, if he's going to need Tommy John, if it's going to be a flexor issue, or what it's going to be. And I know that Rockies fans, myself included, are getting flashbacks to last season, especially with Ehrman getting Tommy John. But all we can do is wait and see. But trying to correlate these two is just, it doesn't make any sense to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to fault the Rockies for trying to win a baseball game. Yeah, it's April, but wouldn't you rather they try to win, try to be competitive, than just roll over and die?
Exactly.
You know, like, there was a close one-run game. Like, yeah, you're going to pinch run. Like, that's just what you do. That's how you try to win. I'd rather take a win than lose.
And everybody keeps saying, oh, well, they should have just let Elias Diaz stay in the game, or they shouldn't have done it, or they should have just taken the L because it's a lost season. Here's the deal. As fans, we all know about tanking and all of that stuff. We're just, like, not really trying to win games. Players are never going to actually do that, especially guys like Kyle Freeland, one of the most competitive guys on this team.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. They didn't have a meeting at the beginning of the season like, okay, guys, we're going to suck and we're going to lose pretty much where we're supposed to lose. And like, we're not going to try to win. If it's a close game situation, we're just going to give it to them.
Yeah. Like, and it's frustrating because we're seeing all the pundits on the tweeters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams and all that jazz saying stuff like trying to correlate the elbow and the shoulder and other stuff like that, or they should have just lost, you know, because it is very easy and it generates clicks to dunk on the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that that's necessarily intentional from some of these people, but when you have a dude who's saying, for example, well, Kyle was fine before the injury at the plate, and now he's not. And then someone goes like, well, no, he wasn't fine. And that's how we know. And the response is, well, who knows? And it's like, Kyle knows. He's been honest with you about this. This isn't from the collision at the plate. It's something that he's already been dealing with and has gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. But we're just always going to find reasons to be angry.
I don't. There are so many legitimate reasons to be angry when it comes to this team or be frustrated. This is not one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll lead into a different thing where, you know, if this is going to end up being the, oh, it wasn't as bad, it was worse than we thought kind of injury report, which does happen a lot with this team.
All the time.
Because they try to be optimistic with their outlooks, and then
after every single time, like Bud Black or somebody on the team says, we don't think it's very serious, he should be fine, I just expect the Always Sunny in Philadelphia thing to pop up. They always do that bit, like, what's the worst that could happen? And then the gang does something horrible. I'm just waiting for that to pop up every time they give a medical diagnosis. Yeah. Kyle Freeland's fine. He'll be ready to go on Saturday. Kyle Freeland breaks his throwing arm.
And that is a legitimate thing to be annoyed about. But again, I also don't think it's coming from anywhere malicious from the team. No,
it's just hilarious.
It's just at this point, it's kind of a running gag.
Yeah. Oh, Chris Bryant, he should be back on Tuesday. Rockies need to replace his spine.
Oh, man. But that's where we're at for injuries right now. So the Rockies have placed Kyle on the 15-day injured list, though he's going to be out much longer than 15 days. They said probably at least a month, likely more. Noah Davis has been recalled, and he is going to go into the long relief role. And Peter Lambert has been placed in the rotation. He'll actually be making a start this weekend at time of recording, the second part of the doubleheader on Sunday, because Friday's season starter against the Seattle Mariners was snowed out because of Colorado weather whiplash, where it was beautiful most of the week, you know, 70s, almost 80 degrees, sunny. And then it's been snowing.
Yeah, I was in Pueblo on Friday, and we see the news. Oh, game's been snowed out or like postponed because of weather. And I was in Pueblo. I'm like, well, then what's the weather like up in Denver? I'm sweating. I'm sweating up a storm down here in Pueblo. All the way home. Like, yeah. It's beautiful here in Southern Colorado.
We got like legit a couple inches of snow.
Weird.
And it wasn't really accumulating to start on Friday, but then overnight it did, and they weren't going to play. It was very cold. It was low 30s, and it was snowing, and they called it, which I probably would have done the same.
Yeah. But I just want to say, no, good for Peter Lambert. You know, he's done decent out of the bullpen. There is that concern of, is he stretched out enough coming out of that bullpen, which I'm sure he will be. He'll be fine because he's mostly worked 1 to 2 innings as the long reliever, but he's earned that chance to just slide into the rotation and get some starts. You know, maybe the Rockies should move to that 6-man rotation too, or give that long reliever guy some spot starts here and there. But I know people are creatures of habit, and all those guys wouldn't want to wait more than their 4 days till their next turn. But
yeah, I mean,
good for Pedro.
We've got a couple teams in our minor league system who are running with multiple man with extra men in the rotation. Spokane is running a 6-man rotation to great results. I would honestly love to see the Rockies do it. But for Peter Lambert, I don't think him being stretched out is necessarily going to be a huge issue.
He was
getting fairly stretched out in spring training.
Yeah.
He had multiple 2 and 3 inning appearances. I do think they're going to probably keep him on somewhat of a pitch count in his first start and work on stretching him out the rest of the way. But I'm not particularly concerned about that. I mean, the worst case scenario is you have a bullpen day.
Yeah. Like if at the start, like, okay, Peter, we need you to go 3-4 innings as much as you can. We're going back to 2012, 4 innings or 75 pitches, whichever comes first.
And the rotation for the most part has been pretty solid at getting through innings. Every start in the Blue Jays and the Phillies series, they went at least five innings. So I'm not as worried about, you know, the bullpen being fatigued because they haven't had to see nearly as much work so far. Everybody got through at least five the last go round. And so if we need to say have a bullpen day on Sunday, okay.
Yeah.
Plus it's a doubleheader, so we'll have an extra body up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I forgot about that. I wonder who it will be. Probably another pitcher.
I bet it's Ty Block.
Yeah, they put Bardo on the 60 and then call up Ty Balake. Or maybe Riley Pint gets a recall.
So for the doubleheader, I don't think they need to make any corresponding roster moves because by default, you get a 27th guy to have with you for a doubleheader. But then it's what they do after that. Yeah. I would be down for Riley Pint to get called up. He's actually been having a pretty solid season overall mm-hmm. down in AAA, unlike a lot of the other pitchers down there right now. Same for Ty Block. So it's really, we're in wait and see mode. There's not a whole lot we can do about it. And yes, it's frustrating as heck. This season probably could not be off to a worse start if we had tried. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening.
And how I tried.
Oh my God, do I try? But it really is like everything that has gone wrong that could go wrong has. What do we need? We need the rotation to stay healthy. Well, Kyle Freeland is now mm-hmm. out for at least a month. What do we need? We need Chris Bryant to stay healthy. Well, Bryant's now out on the injured list. What do we need? We need to strike out less. What do we do? We strike out a ton.
We strike out more.
We need more. We need better offensive numbers, and the Rockies just aren't scoring runs.
And to go back to the doubleheader, it is an additional player from the 40-man roster.
Okay. That'd probably be Riley Pint then, honestly.
Yeah.
Unless they do make a move to add somebody to the 40-man roster.
Which, yeah, good.
I honestly,
the two options we said?
I honestly keep forgetting that Ty Block is not on the 40 because I just expect him to be at this point.
Yeah, because he didn't make the opening day roster like we all expected.
Like, we seriously, both of us had on our perspective, on our projected opening day lineups, we had Ty Block on the opening day 26.
Seemed logical.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that Peter Lambert has himself a great weekend. He deserves it. He's one of those guys where he's really fought to get back to where he is. And all we'll do is we'll see where it goes.
And it's see what he can do this year. Cause you know, after the season, you know, do you still stick around with him? Do you move on? Like you got to start assessing this roster more and giving guys opportunities because we got to start thinning this herd and reshaping this roster because what they're doing now, it ain't working, fam.
Heck, honestly, if Lambert stays in the rotation for a large chunk of the season up to the deadline, and he does well, I would consider trading him.
Yeah, see what you can do.
Because we've got a thin, like the log jams are so bad. And while, you know, starting pitching in AAA is not really there, we got a lot of guys in the lower levels who are going to start coming up soon.
Yeah.
Carson Palmquist has been excellent in AA Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be here sooner rather than later. Then you've got all the people who are pitching really, really well down in Spokane. You've got all the guys who are hopefully coming back from Tommy John next season. And then you've got all the position players who you've got to start thinning things out mm-hmm. to make space.
Yeah. If you're not going to try to add to this roster through free agency and other means, you got to make room for the reinforcements you do have coming. And so hopefully Peter Lambert and like Noah Davis kind of fits in that same camp. Like, what can these guys do? And do we see them with any part of moving forward? And if not, then okay. Adios, muchacho. Like, good luck to you.
It's the same with Michael Tolia and Ellers Montero.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you need to start making decisions.
And Sean Bouchard, too.
This has been an ongoing thing with the Rockies for years now of not letting go of anyone, not making these decisions, and then log jamming yourself up. Because where do we have log jams? Surprisingly, and the pitching staff is coming soon. Corner outfield, corner infield. we've got too many people. Middle infield. We've basically got a log jam at every single position.
And that goes back to our conversation here about injuries. Is that's the silver lining with injuries, is it opens avenues for you to explore these things. Because, okay, Daniel Bard, he's going to start the year on the injured list. Who does that open up for? Well, Victor Vodnik gets to join the team. And who's been the best reliever? Freaking Victor Vodnik.
Victor Vodnik named to the top 10 rookies to start the season.
Yeah. And that happens because, you know, Gilbreth is on the shelf and Bard's on the shelf. But really, I think Bard being on the shelf is what opened up for Vodnik to get on the roster.
Or and, other guys who are getting more opportunities. Nick Mears getting a lot more opportunities this year. So, and honestly, this is what happened last year, where all the injuries sort of forced the hand of the team to let guys like Nolan Jones and Brenton Doyle play regularly, and that worked out well. Mm-hmm. And that's always the bright side of these injuries, is that you can start exploring some of your other options, because it is, no, the Rockies are not intentionally trying to lose, but it is going to end up being a lost season. So what do you do during that season? You got to start exploring your options.
Mm-hmm. It's and if guys are like doing awful, you know, kind of slide in somebody else to see the opportunity. That's why Nolan Jones too got opportunities last year. It's just because some guys just weren't doing well. And so that's the silver lining. Rockies have to utilize these injuries and maximize, okay, the opportunities we have with them. Bryant's down. Okay. Let's stick with somebody and see what they can do playing every day while he's gone.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Sean Bouchard is now, how I would do it is Sean Bouchard is now your everyday right fielder.
Mm-hmm. But then who's your regular first baseman?
You rotate with Tolia and Montero.
Hmm.
Because Bouchard can also play first base. So that even
he played first base.
He played
like once last year.
Yeah, once or twice. And during the winter leagues, he was playing corner. But it's not, it probably won't happen, but you've got the same way to do rotations there. But you know, hopefully the Rockies can capitalize on these injuries. You know, it's always unfortunate to have guys injured, but it does provide some opportunity. Yeah, because with Freeland out, now we're going to see, all right, is Lambert going to be a sticking piece for the rotation? If Lambert's not, we can see, is Noah Davis going to be a sticking piece for the rotation? We can make decisions and move on.
Yeah, if not, then, okay, we can look at AAA. Is there any starters there that aren't Ty Block? Because he's a known quantity that we want to give a look at. Okay, all right, Carson Palmquist, come on down and skip the quirky.
Well, you know, occasionally I'll be quirky.
Albuquerque.
Wait, those are Southwestern toppings. But you know that's all. Unfortunately, we can really say on the matter right now. We hope Kyle Freeland has a quick recovery. Hope Daniel Bard's recovery goes well.
To recap, Evan, right shoulder separated, pinch running. Left elbow hurting. He throws with that elbow. That's what he's injured for. Elbow. Left elbow.
Elbow? All right, elbow. What's a shoulder?
This part up here.
Do you have like a diagram that I could look at?
I can draw a little guy real quick. Let's see. He's boom.
And while Skyler draws a little guy, we're going to take one more quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Elbow.
Welcome back to Affected by Altitude with Evan and Skyler. Skyler is drawing a little guy still. We just finished talking about a whole smattering of injuries. And for our last part here, it's going to be a little bit of a freestyle.
There we go. There it is.
It's beautiful.
There we go.
Hang that up. It reminds me of back when you used to have the chalkboard as your background. You would put stuff on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
But the Rockies just finished another rough road trip. There's not a whole lot to say other than the Rockies offense continues to be pretty bad.
To quote the critic, it stinks. It stinks.
It's frustrating because they're getting on base okay, but then they're just not scoring runs. Through six games against the Blue Jays and the Phillies, they scored a total of 22 runs, and more than half of those came in the first game of the road trip against Toronto. They scored 12 runs and then 3-0-1-0. And then they scored six against the Phillies in that finale of the road trip.
And most of those came in the eighth inning or later.
Yes. The Rockies have one of the worst run differentials in the league. Not as bad as the Chicago White Sox, but I believe it's the second worst overall. The Rockies have the worst first inning run differential overall. I believe it's negative 24 or negative 25 because almost all the damage they're giving up is coming in the first inning. Mm-hmm. And they're just not scoring at all in the first inning or early in ball games. And, you know, the rotation, for what it's worth, has hung in there. It's really been, we've talked about this before, it's the one bad inning curse where, for the most part, the Rockies starters are doing pretty well, other than one inning. And that one inning right now happens to be the first inning, where they are just getting clobbered in the first inning. And it's really frustrating, but then the Rockies just don't have the offensive firepower to bring it back. So during this road trip, the Rockies gave up 28 runs, and eight of those were home runs, and the Rockies scored 22 and only had four home runs, but they are getting on base. They had 52 hits total, 11 doubles, a triple. But they're just not scoring.
And, yeah. And most of those runs and the extra base hits came in that first game of the road trip in Toronto, where they put up 20 hits and, you know, scored 12 runs, had 11 extra base hits, 9 doubles, you know, setting franchise records or tying them, getting close to them in that first game. And then it was just a whole lot of nothing. And I think they rank like 10th in the league, top 10 in the league in hits and batting average, which, okay, that's nice. But then they're near bottom of the league in runs scored. Evan, you remember a couple years ago, was it 2022? That year, the Rockies were like, no, look at our batting average. We have the highest batting average in the league. And yet,
that was 2022.
It didn't mean a dang thing because the team was awful. They didn't score enough runs. They weren't scoring runs. They weren't hitting extra base hits. They don't hit home runs. Like, what was that? Some of those games where they had like 7-9 hits, all of them singles. So they're the definition of just scattering hits, and most of the hits are coming like, oh, Tovar went 3-for-4, Ryan McMahon went 2-for-4, you know, that type of stuff. So they're getting those hits, like you said, but they're kind of just like meaningless hits. Like, they're not getting the big hits that they need to score runs.
Yeah.
And it's a two out single.
You're absolutely right in that, you know, so you can compare this to that 2022 season where I wrote about this. I wrote that the Rockies offense at the time wasn't working, where they had tied with the Los Angeles Dodgers for the best batting average in the league. But the difference was, at the time of writing, the Dodgers were 90-38 and the Rockies were 56-74. Dodgers were, I wrote, basically guaranteed the NL West crown, while the Rockies are quite comfortably in the basement. And that's the thing, is that batting average is an empty stat. It is meaningless on its own. It is meaningless without context. And the context here is that the Rockies aren't doing anything with these hits. They're not hitting home runs. They're not driving in runs. They're striking out a ton.
Mm-hmm. The Rockies lineup basically is operating, when it comes to that batting average and stuff, the counting stats just basically operate. They're just counting stats for somebody's fantasy baseball team.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you care about batting average. Like, oh, sweet. Like, Tovar, he's hitting over 300 and he's getting me some points. Like, the Rockies are getting some hits, but in the grand scheme of trying to win ball games and, you know, instead of individual performances, a lot of that stuff counts towards individual performance. Like, a good team batting average, most of that's from like three guys.
Yeah.
But then you compare them to like what the Dodgers are doing now with their power. I think they have the most home runs in the league as a team, or close to it. Rockies, not so much. They're like middle of the pack or lower.
Yeah, the they're comfortably league average when it comes to on base percentage and slugging percentage, but then they're pretty low on the totem pole when it comes to RBIs. They are pretty low on the totem pole when it comes to home runs. They've hit just 16 as a team. The lowest number is the Chicago White Sox, who are truly terrible at 10. But then you look at the top of the list, you know how many home runs the Orioles have hit so far in 19 games?
Quite a few.
31.
There you go.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago that the Orioles were our brothers in the basement.
Mm-hmm. And they were intentionally doing it. Best
teams in the league.
Yeah, they were intentionally being at the bottom of the basement, too. We're trying and we're failing. That's the sad thing.
I just... The one thing I will say, the Rockies are really high up there when it comes to doubles. They're above league average. And we are actually we're tied for the second most triples, which is cool. I love that. You know me, I love triples. I believe two of these have been hit by Charlie Blackman, which is a lot of fun. But the thing is, we're not doing anything with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, yes, it's cool to get a triple, but if you're stuck on third base and you don't score, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is they're not getting the big hit, meaning like I need to look at like where do they rank in the league in hitting with runners in scoring position. I think that's a more telling stat, because when there's maybe a guy on first or something, we're good at getting those doubles, yeah, but usually it's like a leadoff double. Oh, and then the guy gets stranded at second type of thing.
All right. So runners in scoring position, the Rockies are hitting 240, which is bottom 10 in the league.
There you go. See, that's the big telling thing, is we're not getting the clutch hits. And that was quite evident.
They are league average for home runs with runners in scoring position with 5.
Hey.
And they're a little below league average for RBIs with runners in scoring position. But... they're near the top of the chart. They're 8th overall in strikeouts with runners in scoring position.
Woo! Yeah, and we're like top 5, I think, top 6 in total team strikeouts.
The Rockies are striking out a lot, and that's really frustrating, because what was it that, so the Rockies have, are tied with the Detroit Tigers for the 5th most strikeouts in the league at 189. And that's really frustrating, because coming into the season, the team was talking about, Hensley Mullins was talking about, cutting down on strikeouts, improving walks, and taking better 2-strike approaches. And that's just not happening. As a team, at least, in a couple guys, we are seeing much better bats. Brenton Doyle, Alaris Montero, but some of these guys are taking really good at bats, but then still striking out, like Nolan Jones will take a 10 pitch at bat and it'll be a really good at bat, but he'll still strike out.
Strike out looking on a fastball on the outside corner.
And I will say, in Nolan Jones' defense, for those strikeouts looking especially, he is one of the league leaders in having pitches called, I believe it was strike 3 counts, where the ball was not a strike.
Yeah, just like, called strikes outside of the zone.
And, but you've really only got a handful of guys who are every at bat, they're not striking out and they have a chance to be productive. That's Charlie Blackman. You got Ryan McMahon. Brenton Doyle's been fabulous, but he still does strike out occasionally. Like, a bunch of guys on this team have a K percentage of over 30%.
Yeah. We've talked about that before. How do you combat that? Well, you're being productive when you are making contact with the ball. And that's what Tovar's been doing. That's what Doyle's been doing.
Yeah.
That's Ryan McMahon's been doing.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have one of the highest strikeout rates in the league right now. They are tied for the most strikeouts in the league with 207 with the Boston Red Sox. The difference is they are also leading the league in a bunch of other offensive categories.
Yeah. And it helps when you have a bunch of MVPs on your team.
Yeah. The difference is the Dodgers are good.
Yeah.
And the Rockies are not.
And the Dodgers have the tools to make their guys better. And like offering up the tools, like, okay, here's what you need and whatnot. Whereas the Rockies, it just, every guy is struggling with the same things. It's the pitch down in the dirt. They're chasing the breaking ball below the knees. It's just it's always weird when you see a team like 1 through 9, pretty much everybody's struggling with the same thing at the plate. And it makes you think, well, when what is the, what, it's an organizational problem then if all the guys are slumping with the same exact type of problem.
Yeah.
And striking out. Cause nobody's really like being elite with their walk rate. Like Nolan Jones is having a good walk rate, even amongst all the strikeouts. He's shown a good eye, but even then everybody's just not drawing walks.
The Rockies have just two players who have a walk rate over league average right now. It's Nojo at 10.3 and Ryan McMahon at 12.1 versus the Rockies only have three players right now, regular starters with a strikeout rate below league average. That's Elias Diaz at 20.6. And you know, that's a known for Elias Diaz. He doesn't strike out that much. The next one is going to surprise you, and it's Aleris Montero has a strikeout percentage of only 17.5. That is really good. And we haven't quite seen the offensive results from Montero yet, and that's because he's getting really unlucky. It feels like once or twice every game, he is hitting an absolute blistering missile right into the glove of an opposing fielder.
Yeah.
So that's why like Montero is taking good at bats and he's not striking out. That's why I want to see him keep playing. And then of course, Charlie Blackman has like a 12.3% strikeout rate. You know, Chuck.
Par for the course.
He has an impeccable approach at the plate and fabulous plate discipline. He just doesn't really strike out that much.
Mm-hmm.
But when the rest of the team is all striking out a ton and you have five guys with a strikeout percentage of 30 or higher so far to start the season. And that would be at the top of the list is Michael Tolia, 39.5, Nolan Jones, 38.5. And then Chris Bryant, Ezekiel Tovar, and Brenton Doyle.
It's not good.
But at the very least, Brenton Doyle and Ezekiel Tovar are being very productive at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And Doyle's strikeout percentage, the actual number is actually below 30. It's 29.7. So honestly, you know, you're gonna round up a little bit. It's closer to 30 than it is to 29. But then you look at, you know, what their other contributions are, and Tovar's defense has really rounded into form. So has Doyle's, and they're both hitting very well. Tovar is hitting 306, 363, 486. He's got 3 home runs and 10 RBI. So he has the second most RBI on the team and 2 stolen bases. That'll play. So that means the strikeouts are more forgivable. And for Brenton Doyle, he's hitting 286, 324, 486 with 3 home runs and 7 RBI. That'll mm-hmm. play just fine. Like that works. But then you have other guys who are not. And I hate to say it because Michael Tolia has been a lot of fun because he is just hitting home run after home run. But he is pretty much right now a 3 true outcomes kind of guy.
He's our great value Joey Gallo right now.
He has 5 total hits this season. 4 of those are home runs. And he struck out 17 times.
Go big or go home.
And, you know, I think it's okay to have a guy on your team like that. But when a bunch of your guys are like that, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is, okay, if, oh, maybe one or two of these guys is kind of struggling, you can spread them through the lineup or figure out where to place them.
Yasmani Grandals, your Kyle Schwarbers.
Yeah. No, look, we just saw that with the Phillies. Look at Kyle Schwarber. Dude does that 3 true outcomes. But what he does well, he draws walks. He hits bombs. Like he does all 3. Like they're pretty evenly split there. Hits bombs, draws walks with impeccable plate discipline, and strikes out a ton.
A large part of why he draws walks, though, he has good plate discipline, but it's also that he is such a bomb threat.
Exactly.
That pitchers are a little afraid to throw to him, and they're going to nibble a little bit, which leads to more walks. Tolia strikes out so often that pitchers are not afraid of him.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think he could get to that point, but he's so aggressive. He's an extremely aggressive hitter. He needs to draw more walks.
And that's the Rockies in general. They're just a little too aggressive with some things. Like I'm swinging at first pitch no matter what. Like, no, you can, when we've talked about this before, I've talked about it. You're swinging at that first pitch until you're not. You know, it's not, I'm not going to swing until I am. It's that learning to recognize, okay, I'm going to be aggressive on this first pitch. I am first pitch swinging all the way until I see it's going out of the zone, then I'm not swinging. But I know it's tough because you have the milliseconds to make that decision and recognize and make all those decisions. But it's still that mentality that you hear pitching coaches and old former players talk about all the time. You know, Dante Bichette's talked about it. It's just that mentality of your approach when you're hitting. I'm not going.
Yeah.
And so pitch recognition has been the problem for this team.
What's funny is, though, you have one guy who's not being aggressive enough on the first pitch, and that's Nolan Jones.
The one guy who should be, because he was great last year, but now he's holding back. He's he's holding himself back and watching more pitches. And like, that's always been my problem watching these Rockies these last several years, is I absolutely hate when they're watching strike one and it's a meatball over the middle of the plate.
Yes.
You're like, oh my goodness, you could have fired on that. But
and it's frustrating because at the same time, I love watching guys take these long professional at bats, the big battles, the 10 pitch at bats. But if you strike out, then
what was it for?
I don't know. It's going to be a long season, and you know, we're going to keep watching these guys. There are still bright sides for this team. Like I said, Ezekiel Tovar and Brenton Doyle have been so much fun to watch. They're great.
Yeah. But
I think other guys are going to round into form as well at some point.
It's one of the things that goes back. I think it's still an organizational problem where there's something that's just not working, where these guys aren't getting, I don't know if it's preparation, they're not getting good enough, they don't have the scouting reports, analysis, there's just something that's missing that the Rockies aren't doing to make their hitters better to combat the rest of the league. Because you look at every opposing pitcher, they've got the Rockies number, it seems. Like,
yeah,
9 times out of 10, like, we'll the occasional will beat up on Kevin Gausman, who's already struggling. But then you get the rookie out of Cuba that the Blue Jays signed, handcuffs the Rockies.
Yariel Rodriguez, who looked fantastic. And then you have Ranger Suarez. The Rockies had 7 hits against him, and he threw a complete game shutout. It was almost a Maddox. Mm-hmm. I think he ended up throwing like 102 total pitches.
Christopher Sanchez, who's like, okay. Like, it's not blowing everybody out of the water. Handcuffs the Rockies for 6 innings, gives up 1 run. So it's just something is amiss. I don't know, between Bam Bam trying to fly planes or, you know, the team just, still not really having their data department, research department firing on all cylinders. There's just something that's not meshing. There's still a dysfunction between offense, organizational coaching, and execution in game. There's just nothing's fitting together. We're seeing little good performances, little tweaks in here that are working for guys, like we've mentioned. But still, as a whole, an entire team is slumping, and how do you fix this problem?
Yeah.
Bring offense back. Make the offense great again.
Yeah. And that's all we can sort of hope for, is at the very least, it's still early in the season. You know, it's mid to late April. There are still adjustments to be made. Maybe some folks are going to round out. Maybe we'll start to see improvements down the line. But for now, it's just been frustrating to watch, especially because you've got this weekend, the playoffs are starting for the Avs and the Nuggets, and the Denver Pioneers just won the championship for collegiate hockey. And for the Rockies, we're just humming along, the same bad team that we were last year. It really feels feels a lot like last year, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we went 4-20 last April.
And that's that might be where we're at, because the Rockies still only have 4 wins. They have yet to have consecutive wins, and they have yet to win a series.
Woo! Woo!
The Oakland Athletics have a better record and more consecutive wins than the Rockies do. And that is a team that is actively tanking.
Ugh. Gosh, depressing.
But hey, at least Bam Bam got to fly a plane, right? That was
pretty cool. Good for him.
He looked so happy. Like, he looked like he was having fun.
And then he unfortunately unintentionally got to United Airlines pilots fired. So, or probably will get them fired.
Both the pilots and the Rockies are under federal investigation.
Woo! That's one way to get out of a job.
They Bud Black has already said Bam Bam's job is safe. It's not going to be an issue.
Everybody's job is safe with the Rockies. They don't fire people on the coaching staffs. They mutually agree to part ways.
Oh boy, ain't that the truth. Well, that's going to do it here for us on Affected by Altitude. Thank you so much for sticking with us. As always, you can find us on your favorite podcasting platforms of choice. Please feel free to leave us a review or a rating or anything like that. We always appreciate it. You can find me on the social medias at Evan_Lang27 on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me writing the Monday Rock Piles and Weekly Pebble Report over on purplerow.com. Also, something new we've been trying over there. I hope you guys check it out. We've been doing minor league game day threads for when the Rockies are having an off day. We've now done about three of those total, and they're slowly starting to pick up steam. So if you want to talk with the commenters about minor league baseball on days where the Rockies aren't playing, check it out. It can be a lot of fun, especially last night where, again, we had a really fun game down in Spokane, and we had a really excellent pitching duel at Double A Hartford versus the Somerset Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find Rocky Mountain Rooftop on all of the platforms you want to find: Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at Rocky Mountain Rooftop. That's at RockyMTN Rooftop. Skyler, where can we find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at @sideline_crowd, and then writing Wednesday Rock Pals at purplerow.com, and writing for fansforsports.com. Doing game recaps, which in hindsight, awful decision.
Yeah, you having fun?
No. This team's terrible.
And here's how the Rockies lost today.
It's true. I'm like, man, if I wasn't writing this game recap, I wouldn't be watching this game. But I suffered through it.
I'm not doing game recaps, and I've still watched pretty much every game this year, so...
But yeah, so you can follow all that stuff, and I write other occasional things. Maybe I need to try to branch out more into writing regular MLB stuff instead of just the Rockies, because like many of you, people just don't care about the Rockies anymore. For good reason. They want to pay attention to the rest of the league, which is good. No, branch out.
You could continue to come up with excellent conspiracy theories on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Also, to recap, Kyle Freeland injured his shoulder pinch running. He's okay. It's his pitching elbow that hurts, and that's why he's on the injured list, not the shoulder.
I love the logo on the hat.
Yes.
It's just CR next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Also, why is his pelvis so low?
Because
he's all body.
No, it's like it's top down, one of the images where he's leaning forward. So it's an optical illusion. His legs are much further back.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah.
It's foreshortening.
It has nothing to do with my awful drawing skills.
You need to upload that to Twitter. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening and watching. As always, we appreciate you. We know it's not been a ton of fun to start the season, but we're still getting all y'all coming in and listen to us every week, and we appreciate it immensely. That's going to do it here for us today. Skyler, how about you go ahead and hit him with it?
Farewell!
I feel like we didn't have enough Simpsons references this week. Googly doogly. Will that do it?
Charmed.
Charmed.